Please be seated. There's a YouTube video making the rounds. It's of a Lutheran pastor in California. And this Lutheran pastor is a big fan of the San Francisco 49ers. And it's game day. There's a playoff game that day played on the East Coast, so it's going to begin before the service is scheduled to be over. So he comes into the service. He seems like he's a little bit rushed and discombobulated, and he makes the following announcement. You may have heard that there's a game today. Nobody's in the congregation. So I thought I'd give an abbreviated service. The congregation chuckles because they know he's a big fan. And the pastor says, so do you want to have your sins forgiven? Okay, they're forgiven. The congregation laughs. And also he says, I've left some bread and wine up on the table. So you can just help yourself. Because I'm out of here. And he raises up his vestments and reveals his San Francisco 49ers jersey beneath the vestments. And he walks out of the church. I got to admit, I thought about doing that today. In case you haven't heard, there's a big game in Tampa tomorrow, and I'm a big fan of one of those teams. And Lori and I are leaving right after the service to drive there. I thought about doing it, but the truth is I'm a gutless coward. And besides, this Sunday is the first Sunday of Epiphany, and it's a big day. At least it has been for me over the years. This first Sunday of Epiphany is the first time I ever baptized someone 15 years ago. This first Sunday of Epiphany was my first Sunday with you as your rector 11 years ago today. I didn't mean for that to happen, but the first Sunday of Epiphany, you won't applaud this one. This first Sunday of Epiphany, 8 years ago today, we somehow squeezed into Batten Hall to worship while we renovated this place into the glorious space that it is. And while I can't say that any of that was particularly orchestrated by me, I came to realize just how much of my life has been marked by new beginnings that began on the first Sunday of Epiphany. Not to be confused with my New Year's resolutions, most of which had probably been broken by this time, but new beginnings. And I guess that's fitting because new beginnings, to an extent, are what the season of Epiphany is all about. Not just for me, but for all of us. New beginnings. Epiphany literally means God made manifest. And in a very real way, it's the church's response to Christmas. Friday was actually the day of Epiphany, and it's marked by the visit of the wise men to honor the baby Jesus. And this Sunday is marked by the beginning of Jesus' baptism. His ministry, I mean. His baptism by John. And in this story, we find some of the most precious words ever spoken. You are my beloved. You know, it occurred to me, what a wonderful thing it could be if all of us, as we begin this new year, would commit to a season of remembering our own baptisms and living this year in that belovedness. You know, we don't think much of our own baptisms, primarily because most of us were too young to remember them, but maybe we should, because when Jesus is baptized, that voice from heaven is personal. And it's poignant, and it's powerful. You are my beloved. With you, I am well pleased. And wrapped in those words of acceptance are the blessings of identity and worth and unwavering affection. And notice that these words come in the beginning. Jesus hasn't done anything yet. And make no mistake, that's our inheritance as well. What if you and I and the whole world could somehow truly believe that who we are is not really a factor of what we do or how we get affirmed, but instead begins with the word beloved? That's why I think maybe the best new beginning any of us could give ourselves during the season of Epiphany is to remember our own baptisms, an act that offers us the acceptance of the creator of the universe and empowers us to accept others in return. An act that actually empowers us to continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to repent when called for, to proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ, to seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving our neighbor as ourselves, to strive for justice and peace among all people, and respect the dignity of every human being. All as a reminder that wherever we go and whatever we may do or have done to us, that God continues to call us his beloved, to love us, to accept us, and to hold on to us just because of who we are. And for a world that's been sold on cheap affirmation as a substitute for genuine acceptance, there may be no more powerful place to begin again. A belovedness that overflows with mercy and grace, a belovedness that mends hearts aching to be new and heals souls wanting to begin again. What if we truly believed it? What if we allowed that to be our starting point for the new year? Could we maybe keep saying it enough to ourselves and to each other that it could make a difference? Could we believe it enough that it becomes a part of us, a part of who we are, and we never know ourselves as anything different? Could we believe it enough that we begin trying to find the belovedness in each other? Beloved children of God, with whom God is very well pleased. Could something so simple change this world? Well, of course it could. Let's try. God love you. Forgive me. Roll Tide. Amen.